Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, the Padres play their final game in Colorado before heading off to Philadelphia. And with Mike Janella hosting, Bill Center in studio is proud to play the elder statesman.
Everybody's younger than I am.
Proving that adage is our other host, Jordan Carruth, who knows that Bill's not so much old as he is just old school, like his taste in sweets.
Are you a Milk Duds guy?
Yeah, that's old school.
That is old school. Right. What else is old school candy?
Whoppers.
Okay.
Nowadays, you got all these Starburst things and Jolly Rogers. No.
Jolly Rogers, huh?
Nope. Not a fan.
Me either.
Now, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the Western Metal Supply Company building, it's Padre Social Hour with your hosts, Mike Janella, Bill Center, and Jordan Carruth.
No Jolly Rogers here, just some Padres baseball talk. How you guys doing?
Welcome to your first Sunday show.
This is great. It's a beautiful Sunday morning. Driving in today, this is the San Diego I moved to. High 60s, sunshine, blue skies, not this rain, this drizzle we've had the last couple days.
Yeah, you're going to quickly learn here in San Diego that when we get like 5 days in a row of rain and look out, start building the boats, it's usually just, you know, a cloud overnight. And
right.
It's supposed to be pouring rain, and I see blue skies outside of Petco.
I thought I was sold a bill of goods coming here these last couple days, but no, this is more my speed.
Well, wait till you get to October, and you're starting to count 200 days without rain or something. That's,
I can't wait.
Okay.
It is Sunday morning, and we're getting you ready for Padres and Rockies coming up. Padres going for a sweep. Jordan, you were looking for on Twitter a broom emoji before the show today to tweet some stuff out, but doesn't exist.
Yeah, we need to make that happen, I think. Somehow someone needs to get the broom emoji going because apparently, Bill, it's the year of the broom. Potentially, if we get a win today.
Two series. You know, the most important
thing is just, they would both be sweeps. That's right. 100%
that's
one way
the year.
Or the other.
But that's the year.
But the key to success in baseball is winning series.
Right, which the Padres have done series already.
Taking two of three, that's the key to success is winning series, dominating at home. Those are the two factors.
After a 16-3 win yesterday, at the end of the show yesterday, we joked very quickly, how about 13 more runs, guys? They did us a couple more better. So let's talk about that offense. But don't forget, you're a part of this conversation too. Make sure to use hashtag PadresSH. Let us know what questions you have, what thoughts about the game yesterday or the series in general. And also join the conversation at Padres.com/social hour. So, guys, 16 more runs on 19 more hits. It's a Padres franchise record for most runs scored in a two-game span. They looked good yesterday.
They did. And I thought the approach, everything about that game was good. Offensively, I mean, they weren't going to be the team that was shut out three straight times. Right now, Coors Field probably has a little bit to do with
it. A little bit.
Right. But also, you're on that momentum roll of we've scored and that plays. And, you know, baseball is funny in that bad plays upon bad and good plays upon good. So right now, they're on a little bit of a roll. I think it's very important to continue this through the Philly series, come home, win this first, get to have a winning record in this first road trip against teams you should beat.
Yeah, I think we're still waiting to find out what this Padre team is, right? Like, does anyone feel like they have a good grasp of what this team's
going to
be?
That's what Andy Green said after the game yesterday. Right. We're not the team that's scoring no runs. We're not this team either.
Right. We're probably not going to score 16 runs every single game, but we're probably not going to get shut out for an entire series going forward. I'm still waiting to figure out what this team's going to look like because we're almost two series into the season, and I really have no idea.
I still think they're going to be a little bit better offensively than they were last year, and I said that when we had the third shutout. I still think they're going to be a little bit better offensively. The defensively, a little bit better. The pitching is what concerns me.
Well, the lineup is deep, and we'll talk about that pitching in a bit, but yesterday, six guys with multiple hits, and just going down here, 12 different guys, 13 with a hit yesterday. This is a deep and potentially very balanced lineup. And we talked about it yesterday with Randy and Derek here, how when you have a guy like a Melvin Upton Jr. or a Corey Spangenberg in the eighth spot, that's a lot of talent potentially for a lineup like this.
Right. And everybody, all the regulars, all the starters, got a hit each of the last 2 days. So that's a good sign. I do like this offense. I know Justin Upton has gone, but I like this offense a little bit better than last year's team.
I think the best sign for the offense so far is seeing Matt Kemp get off to a good start. So far. I mean, the home run.
Everything Kemp, of Coors. Yeah.
Everything he's done at Coors Field. Because what was the story last year? He really picked it up in the second half of the season. Finished really strong. You were hoping that momentum would carry over to start this year. And we'd be able to see both halves. So seeing Kemp get off to a really good start is huge for this offense.
Well, actually, last year, Kemp hit 323, I think, in April. And had 16 RBIs. He did not have a home run in April, but he hit pretty good.
He had the one home run in Chicago early on, and then he didn't have another home run for a long time.
Until June. His problem has always been May, which is historically his bad month. If he can get over the hump in May, he'll put together a good season.
Well, he's 10 RBI in these last two games. Padres' three-game series record is 11. That's Ryan Klesko from 2001. So two more ribbies today, and Kemp's got another piece of Padres history for him. Took him until June 16th last year for three home runs. Right. He's done that in the last 48 hours.
That's Nate Colbert once had 13 RBIs in a doubleheader. So
right.
Yeah.
He holds the four-game all-time series record.
Right, but he had 13 in two games. Right. So don't. You know, that's also would be like, okay, that's a three-game record, too.
Right. Well, semantics, Bill. Let Matt have his moment in the sun. That takes us to our first tweet of today, and it's coming in from Juan Largo. Last year, leadership, quote-unquote, had been an issue. Is it safe to say it's now Matt Kemp's team? I think that's a question that's born from his performance the last couple of days. But it was also reported that after those three shutouts at the beginning of the season here at home, that Kemp was one of the more vocal guys in the clubhouse about, guys, don't worry. This is just, you know, something that's going to pass. Is this now Matt Kemp's team, or do 2 days of offensive performances not really give you that crown yet?
No, and in a way, Matt Kemp's a different type of player, and he's like a lot of great players. He's not overly vocal in the clubhouse. He's not a David Eckstein type. I don't know if that mantle really fits him. For leadership, I think maybe somebody like a John Jay might be a little bit better. Don't take this wrong, because I think Matt Kemp's an exceptional player, a really good person. But I don't know if he's the type of person who wants to also carry the weight of being the leader in the clubhouse. There are a lot of guys like that. A lot of Hall of Famers were like that. To leadership, generally, I remember when David Eckstein was the clear leader in 2010, not close to being the best player. I think somebody like John Jay, I think that there are a couple younger players that can grow and gravitate to that role.
Well, there's a lot of different ways to lead a team, and the Padres in some way need Matt Kemp to lead in some way, whether it's just with the bat, whether it's verbally in the clubhouse, whether it's having meetings like Mike's talking about after a tough series against the Dodgers. They do need him to be some kind of leader. If it's not going to be the rah-rah guy, the emotional guy in the clubhouse, he needs to lead on the field then. He needs to lead with the bat, and we've seen it so far in this season.
Right. Well, yeah, he's the clear leader in offense. There's no question about that.
Production and by example leader for sure.
Right.
I think because it is such a long season and because it's not a football roster where you have 50-plus guys, I think you do, whether you like it or not, have to at least once in a while be that vocal leader off the field, too. I don't think it's enough to just let your production do the talking, even if he's not that kind of a personality. But, yeah, he doesn't have to be the one every single day, hey, guys, let's get the rally conversation going. But yeah, after you shut out three straight games, that kind of veteran, you should say something.
Yeah, and that message would wear after a while. If you had to go in every single day and have that kind of conversation, that would just get old for other people. But Matt Kemp, I thought he handled himself really well after that opening series against the Dodgers. Reporters would go up to him in the clubhouse after every single game, and they'd ask about a slump. How's the slump? What's wrong with this slump? What's going on? And he would laugh. He'd like, come on, this is not a slump. He would ask to be defined what a slump is, and he said, it's not this. Like, I know what a slump is. It's not this. This is just three games.
Yeah, slumps may.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'm not surprised by what Matt Kemp's doing right now. I mean, he is an offensive weapon, and he's shown that the last couple of days. And I would suspect, I mean, he's had good Aprils in the past. He had a good one last year without the power. May is the crucial month for him and for the Padres, because when he stopped hitting last year in May is when the Padres stopped producing.
As he went, they went.
Right. They lost Myers at the same time, but also Kemp fell into a major slump, and that really hurt him.
Padres were dead last in runs scored just 3 days ago.
Right.
First team ever to be shut out across their first three games. After 48 hours, two games, they're sixth in the majors right now in total runs scored. They are tied for fourth, I believe, in runs per game. My, how things change, and quickly.
Well, and being on a streak like they're on, they got momentum. It really helped them, I think, to be able to go to Coors Field and get this.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the Rockies are at Coors Field where they normally dominate it, and they've, you know, for 2 days, they've really struggled.
That's the other part of this coin, is that it hasn't been 14 to 13 wins.
No.
It's been the Padres have been dominating the Rockies. Domination.
Bill, do you think we get a normal game today? You know, like a 5-3 game? One of those old-fashioned baseball games where it's not 16-2?
I think it'd probably be 9-6 or something.
That's a normal. That's a Coors normal with the exchange rate to a baseball normal.
And then you get Philadelphia after this, which is, I mean, you can score some runs there.
Yeah.
No question about that.
It's good back-to-back fields for this team to be to be going to. One more tweet. We had Jellyman write to you, Bill. Ha, 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 ha. Where are all the peeps who jumped off the boat 2 games ago looking for ropes back? Well, like we said earlier, we don't know this team yet.
Right.
I'm sure there will be more slumps and more great series like this. This team is a bit Jekyll and Hyde right now.
So how many games, Mike, before you really think you know what the Padres have and what everybody else has?
I think you mentioned it a couple days ago. Give them April. I think a month is fair.
Right.
And then that's when you can decide in which direction to completely overreact, like everyone seems to do every day after another.
I got 5 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Right.
Yeah, Jordan?
To the middle of May.
Yeah, I guess you have to be patient, huh?
Yeah. Jordan's a young, young millennial. He wants to make his decisions now.
I know. After seeing all those replays yesterday, I'm ready to get rid of replays in Major League Baseball.
Well, I thought yesterday they went – I mean, I thought the right calls were made. Unlike the play at in the Dodger game – yesterday, I had no problem with the calls that were made on replays. I thought they were all correct.
You know, let's give Blooper some time to get those replays for
right.
us. We'll rewatch them. And how about we have a chat there later in the hour? Sound good?
Yeah, because I've completely changed my mind on this. Let's just get rid of replay. I'm done with
it. We'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the injuries. Yanhervis Solarte placed on the DL right before we went on the air. So we'll talk about that and what that means for the Padres. Let us know what you think at hashtag PadresSH. And, of course, join the conversation at Padres.com/social hour. Don't forget, Party in the Park, presented by Southwest Airlines, is also back this season. It's a pregame happy hour series every Friday home game at Petco Park. Next up, Party in the Park on April 15th before the Padres and the D-backs at 7:40. Tickets at Padres.com/party. When we come back, Bill, I have a special present for you. You are going to love it. Or probably not. But we'll find out after this on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
.110, that's the first pitch between James Shields taking the hill for the Padres and Chad Bettis. For the Rockies, they're trying to avoid a sweep. It's a beautiful day here in San Diego at an empty Petco Park. And it's an okay day in Denver at Coors Field. Some tarp yesterday on the field as they had some early rain. Today, not expected to rain there at Coors. So that 1-10 start as the Padres look for their first winning streak of the season looks to be right on track. We're here in the AMR studio and alongside Jordan Carruth and Bill Center. My name is Mike Janella. And Bill, a couple days ago, we had our first morning show of the season. We are still in the morning here on the West Coast. And it was Bob Scanlon and Mike Grace were here. And it was a first morning show of the year, my first morning show. So I brought some donuts to help make a good first impression.
Absolutely.
And on Twitter, I saw that you took offense to that we never brought donuts for you on the show.
Exactly.
So I wanted
especially
to,
on a morning show.
Right. So
you
complained
about that?
Jordan, I complain about a lot of things.
So I wanted to make it up to you, and I brought you a special gift today since we have another morning show. And since I know you're such a big fan, I brought you a Stone Cold Steve Austin pro wrestling T-shirt. He's the greatest pro wrestler of all time. This is my olive branch to you, Bill. What do you think?
Put it away.
Jordan, this is a great gift.
That is a great gift. How dare you, Bill? He's trying to be nice to you.
Yeah. He knows how I feel about
it. Is this what Christmas is like at the center's house?
Right.
Take the gift back.
I don't want it. Put it back in the box. Yeah. I don't want it.
What happened to the thought that counts? That's how I was raised.
Well, that thought was meant to embarrass.
No. We thought it was fitting. Padres opening, going 316 on the Rockies over at Coors Field.
I can't believe you're not going to take the T-shirt. You just waved them off.
It's all right.
I did.
Now I can wear it.
Now he's got a T-shirt. About something that he really likes. I'm happy for him.
Last year we bring you candy.
He said slightly condescendingly.
just a little bit.
Slightly?
Bring you candy last year. You get T-shirts this year.
All right, let's get back on track here. Talk some Padres baseball, because I could talk the next 40 minutes about wrestling. Bill would strangle me. Yoenir Solarte on the DL. That was the announcement early this morning. We saw him pull up lame yesterday on his base hit at Colorado. Did not know the severity, but everyone, the way they saw him pull up, it looked like it was potentially serious. He's on the 15-day DL.
That looks serious.
Hamstring strain.
Right.
And we're looking back at it here, and about 10 feet short of first base, he just pulls up lame.
No question.
It did not look good.
Right. And then afterwards, I mean, he had to be helped off the field. I mean, at one point, Tariq Brock was having to hold him up there at first base. That looks like a fairly substantial hamstring injury, and that's one that generally that takes a little bit more than 2 weeks to recover from.
Yeah, that's not the sight you want to see. No. You'll see players do that in all sports. You see that in the NFL, NBA. Once someone pulls up like that, you know where that one is headed, and it's usually headed to the DL.
Plus, he was off to a decent start with a bat. 3 doubles already, so that's a major loss.
6 for his first 16. Right. The only person besides Matt Kemp in terms of batting average to rank on the team. He had a good spring, too. This was a guy everyone talks about, Kemp and Myers and Norris, but this was a guy that you could probably pencil in for 20 and 80 and some really good production.
Always in the fifth or sixth hole. So this is a big loss.
Yeah, and he was finding his role with the team last year. I mean, there was a little bit of a competition with Will Middlebrooks last year early on, but then Solarte...
There was no competition as soon as Solarte started playing.
Okay, there was a competition early in the season, and then Solarte ran away with it. So he was finding his groove with the team, trying to find his place, and this is the last way you want to start a season, going right to the DL.
Taking his place, Alexi Amarista, who was was assigned to a AAA El Paso out of spring training. He now comes back up to the big club, and... Bill, if this is more than 15 days, is Amarista, a combination of he and Adam Rosales, the right solution for plugging up that hot corner?
Well, I think you got Rosales at third base right now. I don't think Amarista's best position is third base. His best spots are probably second base in the outfield. At the same time, Amarista was a no-brainer because he was the only infielder on the 40-man roster at AAA El Paso. And we heard this morning about, you know, why did they bring up Jamal Weeks? Well, that would have taken a move on the 40-man roster to create an opening for him, and I don't think you want to be playing there yet.
Because and not because, Jordan, as we found out on Twitter earlier, it's not because Jamal Weeks is gutless.
I said, yes, autocorrect on my everybody. autocorrect on my phone.
What did you think when you saw that tweet, Jordan?
Changed hitless to gutless.
I wanted to know what I missed.
I think we have that tweet from Bill.
Right.
It's not so he says. So people were asking, why Amarista and not Jamal Weeks? And Bill responded, because Weeks is not on 40-man roster. No reason to cut someone from 40-man for a backup infield. Plus, Weeks gutless.
Right.
That's all it says.
He's hitless.
Autocorrect. It was meant to be hitless, so we're clearing Bill's name.
I thought I missed a major story here. I thought we liked this guy.
As moderator Becky would know, my fat fingers are as useless on my phone on Twitter as anybody you'd ever want to meet. Short, fat, aging fingers on an iPhone do not work very well when you're tweeting.
It equals gutless, apparently.
No, for all that we know, Jamal is a great guy, and he's gutful, or whatever, I guess, the adjective you'd like to use. So
he's full of guts,
full
right,
of
Bill?
Full of guts. This does, though, now, this was the Padres team that in spring training was very fortunate, injury-wise, a couple of sore hamstrings, but nothing serious, or maybe a couple of relievers on the cusp of making the team that had some issues, but nothing too crazy. Now you had Matt Thornton go down with that Achilles tendonitis. Tyson Ross with his right shoulder inflammation. Now Yoenir Solarte. I mean, Ross and Solarte, those are two big pieces for this team.
Right.
All of a sudden, that injury bug is looking pretty serious.
And Ross really leaves you vulnerable.
Big time.
Because okay, you can move Erland into that spot now. Erland is not Ross, but if Ross is out more than 15 days, and you never know with shoulder inflammation when it's going to clear up, you are extremely vulnerable if you need another pitcher, because the next pitcher in line right now might be Jeremy Guthrie at El Paso, who's not on the 40-man, or Brad Hand, who you've just gotten as a reliever, who has started in the past. Those are probably your two best options right now to go to the bullpen. I mean, to get another starter.
And the unfortunate part with an injury to a starting pitcher, an opening day starter, and a third baseman is you don't have a lot of depth in those two areas now on the roster.
No, I think Rosales, right.
Yeah, you need Tyson to do well. You need Cashner to be lights out this year. And you need James Shields to come back and be James Shields. And you were still looking for the four. You were still looking for the five late in spring training. So anything that happens to the starting five, there's just not a lot of depth there right now. And then also at the third base position, Bill, I mean, you lose Solarte. You're not just plugging in someone else that's going to fill those shoes right away.
And they might go back to considering Brandon Maurer a starter, although that did not work very well.
It didn't work well in spring, and Andy Green made it seem like we are not going to flip-flop him. This is his lane now.
Right.
His relief.
Exactly. That's why I said the two best options are Guthrie or Brad Hand, who has started a lot in the past.
Which are not very enthralling options. They are, I guess, they're there, but they're not anyone that's going to make you wake up in the morning as a Padres fan and be excited that they're taking the hill.
Right.
But we'll see. Andy Green made it a point during spring training to remind everyone this is not a 25-man roster that will influence this season. It's 30 guys. It's 35 guys. I don't think he wanted to prove that axiom true this early in the year, but it is being the case so far. One good silver lining through this, though, is that yesterday's starting pitcher, Drew Pomeranz, as Friar Gal tweets at us, says, so Pomeranz was a nice surprise, don't you think? Yeah, he pitched very well yesterday. Maybe we imported some talent to make up for the other nonsense, and I think nonsense is a bit of a strong word, but now with these injuries, this is something that this team has to worry about. And if they can get Drew Pomeranz, who pitched very well in a tough park yesterday, to deliver, maybe that's a good cushion for this Tyson Ross turbulence.
Well, there's a little parallel there because Pomeranz struggled when he was first at Colorado, then at Oakland. Now he's here working with Darren Balsley, much the same way that Tyson Ross found his niche when he was here after he came from Oakland. So I like Pomeranz. I like what he has. I like the size. I like the arm action.
Yeah, and they're getting thrown into it, going to Coors Field, and then that rotation will carry over into Philadelphia. We talked about how good that is for the offense because you want the offense to continue to break out, but it's going to test your starting pitchers, and having Tyson go down, it's nice to see Pomeranz off to a good start, but there's still some more questions to be answered down the stretch.
Right, and it was very nice to see Pomeranz have a good outing at Coors Field where, in the past, he struggled.
Horror house for him.
Right. And he threw... He threw with a lot of conviction yesterday, and I like that. I like the way he started that game. I like the approach. He did walk a guy right away, but I liked the way that he threw the ball with conviction.
My only issue with not my only issue because you look at the 25 runs they gave up in the first three games, but one of my biggest issues with the starting pitching so far, even with Pomeranz yesterday, is still the length going into games. He pitched well, but only for five innings. They've only had one guy throw even six.
Right.
I'd love to see James Shields today go out there and toss seven or eight because that has been missing in this rotation.
Coors Field, five innings is sort of where the break is, though. I mean, you throw so many more pitches there. There are guys on base all the time. I'm not surprised to see somebody only go five at Coors. Elsewhere, you got to go deeper.
You agree? Or do you think it can still be done maybe six, seven innings today?
I get Coors Field. You're not going to be going as deep. You're probably not going to throw a complete game shutout today at Coors Field. That's the goal. That's the hope. And that's what you do need out of James Shields. You do need at least one of these guys going deep into the games. And it's not going to be Tyson right now because he's dealing with the injury. You need Cashner to bounce back after a tough outing in his first outing of the season. But, yeah, if you're going to look to a guy, it's going to be James Shields that you want to go out there and throw at eight innings. But I'm with Bill. You're at Coors Field. Maybe you have to play to that a little bit today.
Plus, if Shields is on with the economy of his pitches, that he can go longer. I mean, he's naturally built to go deeper into games.
As we've seen from his innings pitched count the last 9 years. And he was scheduled to pitch tomorrow, but with that Tyson Ross injury, gets bumped up a day. But because of the off day Thursday, still
regular
normal rest. So everything is all systems go for James Shields.
The only guy that will be pitching a little bit off kilter will be Robbie Erlin, who will only have 3 days rest. But he only
having tossed in relief the other day.
Right, but he only threw 40 pitches by design.
Right. Exactly. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear Jordan Carruth's replay manifesto for Major League Baseball. So make sure to follow the conversation throughout the commercial break using hashtag PadresSH. But also, don't forget that come All-Star Week here in San Diego, you can be a part of the action. Be a part of All-Star Sunday on July 10th at Petco Park. You can see your favorite celebrities, baseball legends, some of the future stars of the game, and more. Tickets and more information at allstargame.com. Have any thoughts on replay in baseball this year? Let us have them. We'll let you have ours after this on Padres Social Hour.
You want to talk Padres? Lucky for you, we're doing exactly that. This is Padres Social Hour from the AMR studio inside Petco Park.
Welcome back to Padres Social Hour, getting you set for Padres at Rockies Game 3 in their series finale. With Jordan Carruth, Bill Center, and Mike Janella here in the AMR studio. And during the commercial break, the conversation going on at Padres.com/Social Hour. Padres Reddit chiming in that the goal for James Shields today, don't give up a home run. Tough to do, of course. That's a good goal every day, though, right?
Right. Because if he doesn't give up home runs, he's going to be in good shape. Generally, the last year, the home run ball and the walk is what really bit James Shields. And it was surprising because he didn't walk a lot of people in the past, and he and Ross were both up there in walks.
Yeah, going into this game, you know James Shields has taken the mound, and you think back to last year with what happened to the home runs, and you're like, all right, he's at Coors Field today. What's going to happen? Is it going to be one of those games where Shields goes out and maybe gets 7-8 innings like Bill's hoping for? I'm sure a lot of Padre fans hoping he goes that deep. But first thing you have to think about today with Shields is the home runs. And you hope that he doesn't give up any, and you hope he goes out there and he can take control of this game, just dominate, complete the sweep, and kind of get him back into a good groove to start this year.
Yeah, generally, I've always felt that it's not the home runs that kill you as much as Coors Field. It's one, the ballpark is so big. The outfield is so big. There are going to be a lot of balls, gappers, because the outfielders have to play deeper to take away the long ball. A lot of balls fall in the middle. And Coors Field is a place where you can't put runners on with walks because that'll kill you because you know there are going to be hits.
The home runs and the extra base hits will happen. It's
will
just
happen.
Minimizing that damage when you can do
because
it.
Because the hits are going to be up much more than the home runs.
Right.
And so, therefore, you can't walk people and even put more guys
on base. Although maybe allowing a home run or two, not a big deal with this top five offense all of a sudden in Major League Baseball.
New game plan. Score 16 runs today. Shields can give up a couple home runs.
Using hashtag PadresSH,
Mike and Jordan jumping on that bandwagon.
Yeah, just offense, offense, offense.
I'm all for it.
What three straight shutouts at the beginning of the year? Mobile DJ on Twitter chiming in, the Padres are going to win it all this year. Ha ha, too soon. Well, yeah, that kind of goes with what we're saying. It's not going to be 15 runs a game.
Right.
And we can't jump to too many conclusions just yet.
The first week of the season is always interesting because things get blown out of proportion. And, yeah, generally they change. Sometimes they don't. But look at Arizona and the first two starts by Zach Greinke. I mean, they're over there.
They paid what for this?
Yeah. I mean, I was looking at some Arizona papers this morning, and their fans are in total, oh, no, you know, the sky is falling. Yep. They've lost A.J. Pollock, and look at what's happening here.
Yeah, not good for them.
I'm just picturing Padre fans on a roller coaster right now. Like, all these tweets coming in, I'm just picturing it's everyone from a roller coaster.
Right.
literally on a roller coaster. Emotionally on it. Right. Both.
Absolutely. Yeah. And both there. And what we talked about Tuesday when all three of us were here for social hours, like, all right, relax. It's obviously a bad opening day, but everything you said about the first couple games against the Dodgers, not a big deal, slow down. You kind of have to take that same approach on what's happened this weekend in Colorado.
Right. The haters have sort of disappeared for the time being, but they're just...
They'll come back.
The haters?
Hate is gonna hate.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to replay.
They're out there.
We promised we would talk about that.
Do you have
that.
Haters?
No, I mean...
The Padres haters.
Yeah.
Who could hate Bill Center?
Oh, no.
Wrestling fans.
Wrestling. not me. And it's a mutual respect
right.
we have for
and
each other.
And I'm happy to have them hate me.
Right. If not, then you're not doing
So you embrace the
right.
haters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Actually, yes. I love talking.
You kind of have to.
I love talking to people that are totally set against your position. I love that.
Bill loves going into a battle of wits with those that are unarmed, as many often.
No. Yeah, what do you love about that?
I just like being able to start an exchange and see if you can move them to a point where there's a reasonable discussion.
Usually there's like
good
no
luck
leeway.
On the internet. Good luck. Let's talk about these replays, because this is something that some people maybe are entrenched on with their take on it. So yesterday, the Padres go 0-3 in the replays, or I should say Colorado went 3-3.
Right.
Because it was the Rockies who made all the challenges. The Padres have been on the short side of all the replay decisions so far this year. 0-5. They got the calls right yesterday, and we had Sean D. on Twitter chime in, because Jordan, you briefly mentioned it at the beginning of the show. What is Jordan talking about? Umps couldn't get stuff right yesterday. Replays fixed a bunch of mistakes. Why get rid of them? You think all the proclivity of all these replays is bad for the game?
Nah, I mean, I just don't like the fact that all three went against the Padres yesterday. That was really my approach towards it all. I like replay, I guess. I don't like how much it kind of slows down the game. They try to streamline it as quick as possible, but it still is somewhat of a hiccup into these baseball games. It just affects the pace of play. Overall, I like the fact that they're getting it right. Yesterday, I could have gone without it.
Well, I think replay is great with a huge asterisk. If you're going to have plays that you can clearly see, I'm talking about the Spangenberg play, mm-hmm. where the umpire made a mistake and the idiot in New York can't get it right, then there is no reason to have replay. Because if there is a mistake made and you can't get it right, it ruins the entire process.
That's why replay exists, right?
Right, exactly. And there was clear evidence on the Spangenberg play at home that he was safe and the guy wouldn't reverse it. That's wrong. If that's not corrected, you either get rid of replay or you get rid of the guy in New York looking at it.
That I think everyone can agree with.
Right.
If you're having this system to correct mistakes and it doesn't correct those mistakes, why
right.
have it?
Right.
But the point I like talking about is the slowing down of the game. This is already a sport that's dealing with these issues. We have Brandon Callahan on Twitter chiming in. What would you think of limiting challenges to just one per game, regardless of whether you win the challenge or not? Because I think this is part of the issue, is that the other night, that Spangenberg call, whether it was right or wrong, 3-plus minutes that you're just sitting there,
right.
that's tough for a sport trying to attract a younger kind of flittering around attention crowd.
Now, the first challenge in that game.
30 seconds.
30
right.
seconds. And it was clear. He dropped the ball while making the exchange. That was done absolutely right. The 3-minute and 2-second. And even I thought the umpires on the field were like, you know, what is going on here? That's absolutely wrong. It shouldn't be that way. I don't know what they were doing, but that play, the Spangenberg play, was mishandled from every angle imaginable. Now, last night, I thought the replays were done in relatively quick time, and I agree with all three of those.
Should we limit them, Jordan? Just one per game or two max?
I'm okay limiting them. Because I
kind of gives you that, you know, it's like a silver bullet. You want to save it for that one thing that it's really meaningful
right.
for. I kind of like it, making it more important
yeah,
that
when,
way.
When Bill and I were growing up watching these games, we were watching Randy Jones throw two-hour games. That's what I want to see.
Right. I don't think you should limit it.
You're going to let that go? This, 27-year-old saying that he was watching Randy Jones in his youth?
No, I totally agree with him. I mean, age is age. It's a fact. But I don't want to limit it to one challenge a game, because what happens if you make a challenge early and, you know, it's upheld, then you don't get to make one late that might really be something that could change the game.
I like that, the little strategy. Do you go for it early? Do you save it for later?
Well, but there's already strategy, because if you make a challenge and it's not upheld, then you've got no more. So you better be sure when you're making a challenge.
I bet Andy Green was sure about that Spangenberg play.
Well, yeah,
he
was
sure. We saw how that worked out.
He was absolutely sure. And that's what's wrong with the system. It's the guy in New York. If the guy in New York blows it, And I'll tell you, there should be, if you blow a call on replay because of the amount of time and the amount of importance involved, if you're the guy sitting in New York and you don't make the right decision, they should fire you from that spot or suspend you. You shouldn't be there to make the next call.
And he might have been. I think they keep those jobs secretive, so we don't know.
Exactly.
He might have been. All right, that's the replay talk for today. Let us know what you think, again, using hashtag PadresSH or joining in on the chat at Padres.com/social hour. When we come back, we have one historic catch to pit against another that just happened in the game yesterday. But for the first time ever, first, the Padres are hosting a series of week-long summer baseball camps across San Diego County for boys and girls ages 5 through 12. To learn more or to register your future All-Star, visit Padres.com/playball. We're back after this on Padres Social Hour.
Before every game, get your Padres talk on with us. This is Padres Social Hour.
We're back on Padres Social Hour, getting you set for Padres at Rockies. They're in Coors Field. We are here at Petco Park at the AMR studio. And, Bill, we are going to put you on the Cholula hot seat now because I want your opinion on a defensive play that happened yesterday in Major League Baseball. Now, first of all, Willie Mays, 1954 World Series, Game 1, one of the most famous catches of all time.
I was alive to see it.
Arguably one of the arguably the greatest catch of all time.
Right. Long run.
Long run. The old Polo Grounds. Just huge center field. And it's lived on forever in fame, and deservedly so.
Right. Plus, what was mentioned after that catch is the wind was swirling where he was, and he had to change direction while looking back over his head to get under that ball. That was an amazing play.
A fantastic catch. We now have a contender to the throne.
Who hit that ball?
Vic Wertz, right?
You got it.
Yeah,
hey,
I know things.
All right.
Yeah,
right. Nice job.
That's why Bill puts up with my wrestling stuff, because every once in a while I surprise him with
something
positively.
That impressed me something. Could you have gotten that one?
Absolutely. I was there.
Yeah. Okay.
False. Yesterday, Bartolo Colon of the New York Mets.
Great play.
It was a bunt pop-up, and Colon, doing his best Willie Mays, running toward the second base side of the second base bag, lost his hat and everything, an over-the-shoulder basket catch, almost took Neil Walker out for his life. He was worried. Bill, Cholula hot seat, which catch is better?
Oh, Willie Mays, but the better play, was Bartolo Colon's play last year when he
went behind the back.
Right, when he went to the foul line, made that behind the back flip to first base. That's one of the greatest plays I've seen.
I liked how slow motion his hat was coming off.
Yeah.
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah.
Just running back in the hat. Just like Willie Mays, the hat comes off.
It almost, you put them side by side, and it's kind of freaky how similar those plays look out of context.
What is surprising to me about Colon, given the body shape, which is a lot like mine. That he is a really, when you watch the plays that he makes on defense, and you know, and you take away the fact that he can't hit the ball, he is really a pretty good athlete.
He's agile.
Right. He is a good athlete. Just doesn't look like it.
Take away which parts?
Well, he can't hit the ball. I mean, well, he has hit the ball now, but he's not a very good hitter, and he's not a very fast guy. But he can make those reaction plays.
A limber fella.
Right.
Yeah.
Every play he makes is more fun.
Right.
Regardless of what the play is, it's just more fun.
He's a national treasure. And the only remaining active player that was a former Montreal Expo, I believe. There's no one left besides him, I don't think.
Did you know that?
No, I'm just trying to think. Is that right?
I think so.
That's pretty good.
We can double check.
That's correct.
I'm pretty sure. That's,
that is correct.
Blooper says that's correct. And if Blooper says it,
it's true.
Wrong.
It must be true. Make sure to uncap. That's Bill. Thanks for your very honest answer in the Cholula hot seat. And for anyone worried, we're joking. Obviously, Willie Mays' catch, 100 times better.
You're gonna bring out all the haters.
But the backflip last year.
That was
sensational.
That's an all-timer. Don't forget to uncap real flavor with Cholula hot sauce, the hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap, and the official hot sauce of the San Diego Padres. All right, we're going to come back. We will take a look at today's Padres lineup. They're looking for that sweep. Get the brooms out in Denver. We'll talk that and more right after this on Padres Social Hour.
We're talking Padres all season long. This is Padres Social Hour, coming to you from the AMR studio inside the team store.
Happy Sunday, everybody. We're getting you ready for Padres and Rockies. Pods looking to get back to 500. First time they would have done that since 0-0, thanks to that opening series sweep. We're here in the AMR studio with Jordan Carruth and Bill Center. Mike Ginnelli here with you. A raging conversation going on at Padres.com/social hour about Andrew Cashner's place with the rotation and the franchise. But we'll talk about Cash maybe when it's his next turn on the bump. Today, it's James Shields who takes the hill, and he's at Denver. And we actually have the lineup that will be supporting him today, brought to us by United. Let's take a look. So, John Jay, center field, will lead things off. Corey Spangenberg, who had that three-run homer, a no-doubter even over the 16-and-a-half-foot-tall fence yesterday at second base, batting second. Matt Kemp, who is maybe early NL MVP after just these last two games.
What?
Right field and batting third. Will Myers, also a home run yesterday at first base and cleanup. Then Melvin Upton Jr. gets that number five spot, and also playing left field. Christian Bethencourt starting at catcher. Alexi Ramirez, Adam Rosales at third base, and then James Shields. So what we're seeing already is Solarte's injury, a couple of dominoes now, Melvin Upton moving up in the lineup, Rosales now in the lineup as well. Thoughts on the nine that Andy Green's sending out there today?
Well, I think that the Solarte injury is going to really affect the 5-6 spots. Now, Norris is catching. Well, she's not, because Bethencourt's catching today. If Norris is catching now, he's probably hitting fifth, and Upton's going to probably hit sixth. I do think that does change this lineup quite a bit. So Spangenberg, I think we'll see more at second. You know, I don't think with Andy Green, you're going to see the multiple lineups that you saw with the Padres in the past.
Agreed.
That he is more of a stickler for one lineup, let everybody know what their job is. But with Solarte out, Norris is going to have to hit fifth more, and when he's not, there's going to be a little bit of a dip in grade right there.
And there's going to be a little bit of a change to the lineup just because of the injuries. But for me, today is all about James Shields. Like, all eyes on James Shields today to see what he goes out. Can you close out the series? Can you bounce back after a sweep and get a sweep of your own? You're one of the highest paid guys on the team. You're expected to be one of those leaders, if not the leader in the clubhouse, subject we were talking about a little bit earlier with Matt Kemp. To me, today is all about James Shields. It's all about the home runs, if he's going to give up any. And obviously, you want to see if the offense continues to do what it's been doing the first couple games in Colorado. But for me, it's all about the starting pitcher.
Well, it's always about the starting pitcher. I mean, any streak in baseball is only as good as the next day's starter. So, yeah, I agree with you there, Jordan.
The problem is James has struggled at Denver. We have his numbers here. An ERA above 5,
right.
A 1-3 whip in 24 2/3 there at Coors Field. That's got to be a little bit daunting, even knowing you had this
right.
High-powered offense all of a sudden behind you, knowing your personal history there, that's a lot to overcome.
That's a little bit high, even for Coors, but, I mean, yes, it's very high when you consider its other ballparks, a little bit high for Coors, but it's not, when you take in Coors Field, that 1.3 whips, pretty standard.
And I'm pretty sure he's 6-0 against the Rockies in his last seven, is he not? So, I mean, he's had some success when it comes to the wins. Maybe the numbers aren't backing it up as much as I thought.
The results there and the process isn't. I think today the Padres at least
right.
will take that. Also, fun note, they're only 6 runs away, the Padres, from tying the all-time franchise mark for most runs in a series. It's 35. They sit at 29 right now. We'll see if some more history is to be made at Coors Field today. Some history will be made here this summer when Major League Baseball All-Star Week comes to San Diego. Get in on the action July 8th to the 12th by visiting All-Star Fan Fest, the world's largest interactive baseball theme park. Tickets and more information at allstargame.com. We're back to wrap things up. Don't go anywhere. This is Padres Social Hour.
Get ready for every Padres game with us. Coming to you from inside the team store at Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Getting you set for Game 3 of the Padres' 7-game road trip as they look to sweep the Colorado Rockies. We're here in the AMR studio, and guys, as we talked about the lineup for the Padres that they're trotting out to try and get that third win, get a tweet in from Kevin Crotty, who asks, with a tinge of sarcasm, why isn't Blash the team's MVP, home run champion, gold glove, and Cy Young winner? Yes, the fan base has really gotten behind this young man. Why isn't he starting at Coors? And I think the reason people may wonder that, all that power, that plus Coors Field, you would think is a pretty good equation to have. But Bill, you say something else overrides that.
Well, I think defense plays a huge role at Coors Field. One, Upton homered in the first game. He's actually started to hit the ball a little bit. Much better defensive outfielder. I mean, Upton's a center fielder playing left. I got Upton in at Coors Field.
So you go with the defense, and then you can still bring in Blash, pinch absolutely. Hit roll, use that offense, use that opportunity later in the game.
I'm still not totally sold on Blash
what?
As an offensive player. No.
Ugh.
He hasn't.
But I think
himself.
Coors on a Sunday, day game after a night game, maybe today's the time you brick him out. So I think maybe give him a start, but he's not getting it. Quickly, who's winning the Masters today?
I'm sticking with Jason Day.
Phil?
I guess Spieth.
Spieth, all right. Come on, Smiley Kaufman, go for it. We'll see you tomorrow on Social Hour. 10:30 in the morning, Randy Jones and Ben Higgins joining us. For now, enjoy Padres going for that sweep at the Rockies. See you tomorrow.